Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multi-sensory, intuition and telepathy, and more. We feature special guests who are both experiencers and researchers in the realm of NDEs. You're welcome to call in to ask questions and make comments during the show. Ring toll-free at 877-876-5227 in the U.S. or 888-810-8322 in Canada. Otherwise, you can ring direct at 530-876-3222. There are a number of services available through our organization, Toward the Light, providing near-death studies and support, Reiki and remote healing, psychic, spiritual, grief, and motivational counseling, NDE books and videos, and other products for body, mind, and spirit. I'd also like to encourage you to help support this program and BBS Radio by making a donation or sponsoring a show. For more information, please visit our website, towardthelight.org. This week I'm very pleased to have a guest who is a near-death experiencer and a musician like myself, and one who has taken to doing healing work through the art of music. Let us welcome this week Frederick Delarue. Welcome, Frederick, and how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the show, Juliet.
Oh, it's such an honor to have you with us. And what I would like to do is start by asking you to share with us a bit about your near-death experience and also what propelled you onto the path that you are currently on. So let's start by hearing a bit about your near-death experience.
My near-death experience?
Yes.
My near-death experience was when I was 12, and I was in my country in France before I moved to the United States. I had a near-death experience, a car accident with my family, and then that's how it started. It was a car accident, and during my journey in the tunnel, in this dark tunnel, going at a very fast speed toward the light that was becoming bigger and bigger and greater and greater and brighter and brighter. This is when the angels appeared to me and said, "Don't worry, you're all okay, you're okay." And that's all I remember that. You know, it was really, that's all that we didn't discuss about things. That's all I've heard and that's all I've heard. But what I felt at that moment never left me and will never leave me, because it was the most embracing, loving experience. And a year later, after this near-death experience, I was starting to compose music. And people would feel that something else was in that music. And I said, what? They would say, when you play the piano, there's something else. And well, that something else was the touch of the angels, which I do today through the creation of my music to help many people.
Well, I actually enjoyed listening to your CDs. I was listening to four of them back to back, and actually I started playing along with you on my Kauai digital piano, and I was so enjoying it and feeling so uplifted by it, and it just, it had a very healing energy about it that I could really, really feel. And as one who has been so deathly ill, and of course has died myself, the one thing that I was always asking for was music, because it was very comforting to me and it was very healing to me. And so I feel that this that you are doing is very, very powerful and very meaningful. So when you started doing this music, and you were a lad, you were 13, correct?
I was 12 during my near-death experience, but when I really realized that when I was playing music, something else was with me, it was at the age of 13 when I also was guided to play somebody's name on my piano. And I realized that at that age that when I was playing, let's say I would play your name, your birth name, on my piano, and after about 5 minutes repeating that melody of your name, I was suddenly, it was like there was a window opening in the cosmos, in the universe, and I was perceiving the soul of that person. I was playing her name, and it was a French singer at that time, I completely remember, and that singer, I was really scared because that singer was really calling for help. She was like screaming for help, and you know, when you see her on TV, she was fine. And I wondered what was happening, and then 2 years later, she committed suicide. And then this is when I really realized what I was perceiving. I really heard her distress, and that really, at the age of that early age of my life, I didn't know how to handle this, and I even didn't know if it was okay to do this. So I kind of refused that work for quite some time until the age of 33, when I was paralyzed from waist down. And this day it happened that I was paralyzed, I knew God was giving me the opportunity to stop for a moment and stop running away from my path, from my mission on earth, from what I was doing, from what I was afraid of. So he gave me that opportunity to stop, and it really stopped me for a while. And 8 months later, after committed to God and the angels to do my work on earth, no matter what, it would take, 8 months later, I was able to walk normally again. And that's my strength, you know, and that's when I give conferences and seminars, and when I have an opportunity to talk or to give a talk, I always like to share this, because I want people to hear that there is always an opportunity to release any tension, and that goes, you know, we talk about tension, but that can be any other thing, any kind of illness, etc., etc., and so forth. It's always an opportunity. We are always given an opportunity to work on ourselves, to let go and to release our tensions and our worries and our fears and whatever it is. And when we give ourselves, we give our faith completely to God. It's just without being religious at all. That's not a religious talk I'm doing right now. It's just very, very spiritual. It's when you give yourself to your faith to God, and it's just, I mean, this is when you really can kneel and surrender totally in order to receive your blessings.
I totally understand that, because I've been through that so much myself, including going through paralysis for a year and a half. And what an opportunity to really, just like you're saying, to commune with the right source, with God, to let go of a lot of things that we have been in putting in our path to get in our own way, that sort of thing. And it is very spiritual to listen to and to honor what the light source is trying to share with us. And it does happen then that when we don't listen, or we're not listening the way we should, then something happens to us physically that forces us to actually slow down and listen. Now, I want to back up a little bit because I'm interested in the work that you were doing by taking people's names and turning them into music. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
I
work with individuals and I work with couples. And what I do is I place my hands the same way I do my albums. Many times people ask me, there's something unique about you or about your music, and they ask me, what is it? Why? And I say, well, maybe it is because when I play, whatever you hear from my albums, it is not coming from my mind. I do not use my brain to try to make a pretty music. All I do is closing my eyes, placing my hands on the keyboard, I place my hand on the keyboard and close my eyes, and then suddenly I feel it coming through me, and that's how I play, that's how I compose my albums, and that's how when I perform live, people are able to witness that, and they are like, they are stunned to see what's going on, because I don't hide anything. I just let people see what's going on. And the same way when I do, so, you know, it's the same thing. I place my hand on the keyboard and I let the angels play the music through me. It's like when I place my hand on the keyboard, I play what the angels sing in my ears. And that has been witnessed by several mediums and psychics who have seen me play, and that's the testimonial they gave me, saying that they could actually see the angels sing in my ears and me playing right after seeing it. So it was really interesting. Now, coming back to your question about the music and the name, I do it the same way. I place my hand on the keyboard. I speak your birth name, your first middle name if you have one, and your last name, your maiden name if you're a woman. And then I wait. I close my eyes and wait until, usually it takes a few seconds, and then it comes through me. And then I'm able to play the music, what I call the music of your soul. It's like about 30 to 40 minutes of music, and it is you, your life, since day one on this earth, to reconnect yourself with what you came here to do. And any events in your life that hasn't been pleasant or has been chaotic or where wounds have occurred and it hasn't been healed, every of those moments will come back to the surface during this CD, during this session. In your CD, you will be able to recognize every event of your life. But it's like your higher self talking to you. It's like Juliet's higher self is talking to Juliet's physical body with Juliet's mind and it's just and body. And it's like everything fits into place with a beautiful embracing unconditional loving way. It's incredible what happens during when one individual has the opportunity to listen to his or her music. It's incredible. It's your life in music, and when you hear and fear the event of your life that may have been chaotic, you don't see it anymore as chaotic. It just brings you peace, and you're able to hear, and by forgiveness, by unconditional love to yourself and to the other people that may have been involved in those experiences, in those chaotic experiences. And it just brings you, that's the healing process, you know, it just brings you completely at peace. It reconnects you with who you are.
Well, I can really feel that because, again, I do music too, and that's the one thing in my life that I cannot do without. I can do without food more easily than I can do without music. And when I was paralyzed and in the intensive care unit in hospital, I was wheeled down the hall to a piano because I heard that there was a piano in there, and I said, take me to the piano. And they did. They wheeled me down to the piano, and then they sat me at the piano, and I concentrated. I said, please put me hands on the piano. And the nurse did, and I just focused and focused and focused, and all of a sudden...
The piano is only the tool.
It's amazing.
I mean, the piano, it can be the violin, it can be anything, actually.
Yes.
But your instrument, the musical or the artistic way of expression that you use, and that's good for to anybody to hear, the way of expressions you use, of artistic expression you want to use it to release your tensions. Like when I gave a concert to... like 60 disabled people who are in a performing arts school for disabled in the Los Angeles area about a month ago, and they were asking me those questions. What is your advice? How can we do to play like you? Because we are learning how to play the piano. How can we play like you? I said, just you don't play like me by trying to do something to copy somebody else. You just express with your heart.
Exactly.
If you have pain in your heart, if you feel pain in your solar plexus or in your stomach, if it's tight of tensions of anything, you just use your expression. It can be dance, it can be singing, it can be playing the piano, the violin, the flute, whatever it is, or it can be painting, it can be visual arts. You just communicate for that pain you have inside. You use that artistic expression to release it by expressing it in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And when people usually will see that art and say, oh my goodness, it is the most amazing piece of art you've done. And that was at that moment you released, it was the pain out of you that you communicate with a beautiful expression of art. And that's, I think when you succeed to do that, then you are the king of this world. Because
yes.
it's the easy recipe to any pain, any loneliness, any feeling of loneliness, or when you know how to do that, then you never feel lonely again.
Exactly.
Or alone. You don't ever feel alone again because you know that there is this art that is your best friend, your best confidant, and your best, easiest way to release your pain.
Well, I certainly can't stress enough how important it is to have music and especially apply it for healing. Fortunately, there's a lot more dialogue going on about the healing power of music. And of course, it's always been so, but there just hasn't been a whole lot of implementation of music in the healing arts. And I'm so grateful that that's changing. Do you go into hospitals or hospices or people's homes and perform for them? But to do healing with the music, do you do things like that, or is it just where you share your CDs and your live performances in concerts?
I am not sure I really understood. I didn't hear you so very well because of the communication. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I was asking if you go into hospitals and hospices.
Oh yes, I do. That's why I thank you for asking this question. It's so appropriate in my life right now because I just started a non-profit organization called Cathedral of Angels. And what Cathedral of Angels, and it's established in Palm Springs, California, and what it does, it provides, I set up that non-profit to provide free healing concerts, which means I perform for free, uh, to, to anyone who needs comfort, peace, love, inspiration, and healing in their lives. And I am working actively with hospitals, with doctors, with support groups. I want to bring in the terminally ill, the disabled, the handicapped people, the sick children, anyone who needs, and anyone else who just needs inspiration and needs this kind of type of music. And I will bring people who can come and see me perform once a month in Palm Springs. They are welcome to come. But those who cannot come due to medical reason, I will travel to them. If there is a hospital, if there is a support group in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or New Hampshire or in anywhere in the United States or even in Canada, if there is a support group or a hospital ready to welcome me so I can perform my art for the patients at no charge, all they need to do is to call me and set up a date and have an auditorium ready and bring those people, their patients in, and that's all it takes. And that's why I set up that nonprofit, because we know music is healing, and more. And I'm so happy when I hear more and more hospitals in the country are using music, harp music, or any type of music to bring in the rooms of the patients. And that it has been proved even that when people hear very soothing music before having a surgery, a surgical operation, it helps them to release completely, and it helps them to be in a state of really well-being, which helps also the doctors and the surgeon to do what they have to do. Everything is under guidance, and it's just, and I'm so glad that nowadays everybody is starting to work together instead of, we're starting to work to do the union instead of division, and I'm so happy to see that, to witness that.
Well, that's really, really wonderful. And why don't you tell the audience what your website is and what your contact information is?
Okay.
And of course, we'll
so
do this towards the end of the program.
For the nonprofit website, Cathedral of Angels, is www.cathedralofangels.org.
Okay.
And the toll-free number for that organization is 1-888-411-1188. Again, it's 1-888-411-1188. My official website, my personal website where you can hear my albums is www.musicfromangels.com. Musicfromangels.com. And my toll-free number for my albums is 1-800-863-1885.
Now let's talk about your recording a little bit. What is your first release and what inspired that CD? Now, of course, I listened to them and they're very, very lovely and enjoyed playing along with you on my piano. It was beautiful. Tell us a bit about your music and how your CDs evolved.
Well, that's always very amusing to me. Like, we're talking today and normally in what I felt, tomorrow I must start a recording of my next album.
Oh, good.
It will happen probably between tomorrow and Wednesday, so in the next 3 days, and it will be called Reflection. Usually when I do an album, the most difficult part is to wait for the right time. So
yes.
Basically the most difficult part for me is patience and to wait for the right timing to do it. Recording the album by itself is not a work. It's not difficult. It's a pure moment of joy because it's completely guided. I feel it's downloaded from the angels to me. And my latest album, Symphony of Light, was composed in 3 days.
Wow.
The whole album that you, Symphony of Light, was completely done in 3 days. And the funny thing is, once an album is done, the composer himself, which means me, have to learn how to play what I've just composed because I have no clue. So the work is come after the composing and the recording. The work, because the recording is just basically channeling, so I don't really, it's just so easy and it flows. Once the album is done, I have to work to say, okay, now how can I play this in concert? So I have to learn what I've just played. And for all of my albums, it has been done the same way.
So are they basically spontaneous?
Yes.
Sort of like improvising when you're...
Exactly. And
okay.
When I give a live performance, I always call it improvisation, a live improvisation with the angels, because I believe that's what it is.
Yes. Well, it's just really, really lovely. And in fact, I found it very comforting. And I would just listen to them, you know, let the CDs all rotate. And when I got to the end of the last one, then it would start at the beginning of the first one again. And I would just keep them in rotation and have them as a soundtrack to the work that I was doing. And it was just wonderful. And then, as I said, I sat down to my piano and started playing along with you. And it was, and I felt a real communion with you whilst I was doing that. It was just wonderful. Now, tell us a bit about your CD, and excuse me for forgetting the title of it, With the Dolphins.
Yeah, the title of the Dolphins is Dolphins, A Message of Love.
Message of Love, okay. And where did you do that, and what inspired that? I mean, obviously, you
well,
wrote this
one,
Dolphins.
When it was composed, Frederick, I always like to talk about Frederick with his ego, Frederick with his brain, and Frederick when he channels.
Yes.
So Frederick, with his brain, wanted to do another type of album at that time. That was in 2004. And it was not coming through, of course, because it was Frederick with his brain. So it was, I was obviously forcing something and the inspiration was not coming. So I was not really doing anything. And one time I hear the Dolphins come to me and ask me if I would accept for them to download their music through me. And I was just, wow, I was used to hear the angels communicate to me. I know how to recognize them, but the Dolphins, I was not that so it took me a couple of days to digest this and say yes. And as soon as I said yes, everything happened in the next 15 days and the album was done. Usually the album is done before I have the time to think about it, because it's completely guided.
And where were you when you did that?
I was in Palm Springs.
Are there dolphins in Palm Springs?
You know, that's a very good question, because so many people tell me, and I keep telling that all the time, I say, so many people tell me, how come you always work with you always have the ocean on your background of
yes.
your CDs, and you always talk about the dolphins, and you live in the desert.
Yes.
What's the deal? And I said, you know what? In about an hour and a half south Palm Springs in California, the Californian border and Mexico, you have beautiful sand dunes. And when I walk as a solitary on those sand dunes, I can feel the dolphins. I can feel, it's to me, it's the blueprint. It's the opportunity. As a human being, I cannot walk and in the ocean, in the sand, at the bottom of the ocean. I just cannot do this. Or as you know, and when I walk in the sandings, I just, that's the feeling I have. It's like the water is not there, the dolphins are not there anymore, but I can feel it. I can feel it in the blueprint. When I walk, I can feel them and hear them, and I get so inspired when I do that. And my next album actually is about that. Reflection is about hearing and feeling them by walking in the sand. So to me, it's awesome. I don't know if you ever done that, if you ever tried that. It's awesome when you're able to walk in a desert where most people would think there's nothing. But if you really pay attention and take time to listen to the silence, you will hear a lot of things.
Well, you're right about that, because number one, what I'm seeing here is telepathy, and you know, no environment is going to pose any sort of blockage or restriction or limitation, because telepathy is transmitted through anything, and so the dolphins can reach you no matter where you are, especially if you are tuning into their frequency. So yes, that makes total sense. I thought I'd seen a picture of you in the water with the dolphins, so I thought perhaps you had...
Oh, I had encounters with the dolphins.
Yeah.
That's, of course, that's not to deny, you know, I had. But when I did this album, when the guidance from the album was really from the spirit of the dolphins. It was not after swimming with the dolphins. It was before. I swam with the dolphins after. When I did the music, I hadn't swam with the dolphin yet. It really was the spirit asking me, would you accept us to download our music to you, to spread out. The exact thing was to spread out the unconditional love to the world.
Yes.
And it took me 2 days to digest that and say, okay, I accept. And then I was asked to give more amusing details. I was asked to buy a new keyboard for the creation of this album. And here I am going to Los Angeles to a music store. And I go there and I say, well, I need a new keyboard today, and I really don't know which one. I just need to try them. And here I am trying all the keyboards of the music store, and nothing really popped up. And I said, don't you really have anything else? And the guy said, oh, we just have this new keyboard. It just arrived a week ago. We haven't set it up yet. I said, well, could you set it up for me? And he set it up, and he said, well, if you want to find the sound, just you know, touch those buttons and you will see. And I don't even know what I touch. I touch a button and I start playing. Everybody turned to me and say, what are you doing? Because it was so beautiful. I look at the pre-selection of the sound and it was called Dolphin Ride.
Wow.
I said, that's it, I buy it. And I did the album with the because the dolphins told me, you need to buy a new keyboard. And you will know, you'll have your sign. It's that keyboard. And what other signs could be than the pre-selected sound of that keyboard called Dolphin Ride. It was obvious I was that keyboard. I needed to.
Well, as a fellow musician, I'm going to get a little technical here. What is the brand of the keyboard that you got?
Oh, I have a Kurzweil. Kurzweil,
okay.
A 2500.
Wow.
And I have a Korg Extreme Triton, and that's the one with the dolphin ride sound. The Korg Extreme Triton.
That's right.
And and that's about it. And I have a rack of sound of Roland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. But the keyboards I use the most are a Kurzweil and the Extreme Triton.
Wow.
And people usually say, well, that's all you have? I say, well, I guess. You know, you don't need to have much to do something. You just need to how to exploit very well what you've got.
Well, I've got a Kawaii digital piano, and it's it feels and sounds like a real grand piano.
Oh, that's
of course,
nice.
I can get
yeah.
different piano sounds on it, but it was interesting because something that normally doesn't happen with electronic keyboards is that with mine, and I heard it in yours too, you're actually able to hear the harmonics, which is what you normally experience with a real stringed instrument, you know, with a real piano, where the strings are, you hear the harmonics when the strings are struck. And so when I'm playing my Kawaii, it's an MP 9000, sorry, it sounds so true to life, and I was noticing that same beautiful quality when I was listening to your playing too. So I was really curious what you used, because I thought, this sounds so similar. It's just really, really rich and beautiful sounding. And I know too that I will be inspired by dolphins and by angels, and I'll just start playing along as well and listening to that. So what you're saying really makes sense to me, and it's very, very powerful. And I'm assuming that also when you're composing what I refer to as the soundtrack of somebody's life, with using their name, that it's a similar sort of thing. You just start channeling and playing. Do you record this for people? Do they?
Of course.
Okay.
I record it. People people give me their names, or they come to me and they come with me. We do it together. But most of the time, especially if you live far away from California, people give me their names, and there's different ways to do that, either over the phone or online or by email or whatever. And they give me their full names, and I don't want to know anything about you. I don't want to know anything about you. It eases my work, otherwise I may be influenced. It's funny, sometimes people give me their names and they start talking about them. I said, don't tell me anything, because that would influence the work, and it might not be as accurate. It's easier for me to know nothing about you and channel. And or when I do angel reading also sometimes, and it's easier, I believe, to know nothing about the person before giving a reading, because it's more accurate this way. So when I do the music for individual couples, all I need is the birth names, and I do it, and it's recorded simultaneously as I channel it. So it's completely pure, and there's no studio arrangements after that. It's just the pure channeling that comes through at that moment, that is recorded on a CD, printed under your name or your names. And it's mailed to you, and you have the opportunity to listen to it all your life. Lots of people, I had this beautiful lady from the Midwest, and she told me after I did her CD, she said, you know what, 2 days after I heard my music, I went to see my lawyer, and I want this being played at my funeral. And she said, this is not a sad thing. It's a legacy I'm leaving to my children, so they can communicate with me once I am in another realm. And she said, that's, I believe that is really me, what you've succeeded to really play who I am with just music. And she said, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And things like that are very touching, you know. And I have so many people believing that this music is a legacy, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. How lovely that is. Now, what is the significance, Frederick, of somebody's birth name? Because, you know, of course, when, you know, people marry or they go through changes in their life and have a different name,
I use the birth name.
Sorry?
I use the birth name, the maiden name. The name, the first name that was given to a person at the birth. And I often have the question, what if we all, you know, if we are called a certain name, maybe there is 20 people having the same name in the United States. How can you know that you're not going to play somebody else's name? I said, because the name, you know, it's, that's why I call it the music of your soul and not the music of your name. Because I said, the name is connects me to you, to your soul. And they say, what if you connect to the wrong person? I say, well, then don't do it if you already start with fears. But there is no possibilities of connecting to the wrong person, because there's no such thing in the universe to have wrong things, you know. It's
exactly.
Just connections. So when I speak your name, I obviously connect to your soul. I play this music, and it's just for you. And I have never had, since the first time I started to do this, almost 15 years ago, I've never had somebody come to me and say, well, you have played something. You know, everybody understands what this music is. And when I have a couple do their music, whether it's for a couple who needs couple who is having problems and who both wants to work on their union, and they want to see what is the thing that they didn't see or fail from one another. And when they hear their music in one city, they have both music mixed together, they are able to tell me, oh, that's her, oh, that's me, oh, that's her again, that's me. And they are able to identify with the music what the other, like they're able to feel areas of the other person that they've never been able to feel before. So they learn from one another, and that brings them even more closer together. It's just, I don't know if I was really clear about that, but it's very, very powerful. That's all I can say. It's very powerful.
Now, what is the significance of the birth name as opposed to somebody's name in present tense?
That's something that the angels have always told me. After my near-death experience, was always the names are very important. And I have worked with people who hate their names, and they've told me, I hate my name, and I don't want my name, I changed my name to this or this. I even did live demos with an audience with people who said they hated their names. I said, well, sit here, I'm going to play the name that you hate. And she started to cry and cry. It lasted maybe 15 minutes. After the 15 minutes, she was able to say, you know what, now I'm completely at peace with my name. It was something she needed to break through. When you hate something, it's always because there's something, it's always because of some a healing or a wound that is still open and that hasn't been healed and forgiven. And when you're able to forgive that, to know that unconditional love is more powerful than anger, than hatred, feelings, and etc., then you just break through. You just cry off because you cry. You have tears of deep joy because you've just surrendered. You've just succeeded to surrender to the love, to love.
Yeah.
And what more powerful than that? And I have experienced that many times in life. And so when people change their name, when I say it's okay to change your name, but if you change your name for professional reasons, because you think as an artist it sounds better, that's fine. That may be fine. But if you change your name because you hated your father or you hated the history of the family that carries that name, then you better work on it, because that's just running away. And you, no matter if you wear that name or not, you're still part of that story. And if you run away from it, if you deny it, then it's not very good for yourself to keep on living and on denial. So it's by listening to their birth name, it just brings them at peace. completely at peace with who they are.
That's a very good point.
The angels have also always told me, the person that is giving you, that is giving a name to a newborn, is guided. It's a guidance. So no matter who it is who gives, some people say, well, my parents were not there, or my mother were not able to give me the name. Somebody else gave me the name, or I was adopted, or I was and I changed my name, or I don't even know who is my mother, who is my dad, and I was giving a name several years or several months after I was born. And even that, it doesn't matter, I say. What matters is who, what is the first name, what is the name that was given to you when you were born. And that's what is important, because the angels always said, this one is guided, this one is guided for your life mission. So it's very important to bring, to carry it at peace, even if you choose another different name for your business or for your artistic name. But it's important to carry it in your heart with peace, because that's, this name carries the vibrations of your life mission. So if you hate it, then that means you hate everything you're doing, and that's not very good.
Yes, that's a good point. And do you find that you cry when you are performing?
If I find what?
Do you cry?
Oh, yeah,
when you're performing?
Well, each time I do an album, I'm crying like a big baby. You know, when I do like the Dolphin's Message of Love, the title, Dolphin's Message of Love, the message of title, number 5 on the album, was the very first one to be given to me, to be downloaded to me. That's why I made it the title of the album. And I remember crying and crying. Even the Symphony of Light album, I cried after each creation, after each song being composed. I'm like turning around in my studio, in my home, and I'm crying like a big baby. I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm crying because it's so overwhelming of beauty. It's so beautiful. What have just happened? It's beautiful.
It's interesting, because I think that those were the two CDs that most moved me, and I was getting all teary-eyed and kind of weepy when I was playing along with you too. So that's very interesting, to compare notes with you and to find that we were both crying, specifically with those titles, with that music.
Well, most people keep telling me the same. Most people say, I've never cried so much than with you, with your music. But it's a good crying. It feels good. And I would like just to say something about my next album, Reflection, but the next one after that one that will happen in around June or July. I asked to a beautiful artist from Pennsylvania who does what I do, but in painting. And her name is Eva Sullivan. And I asked her, I said, my next album will be called A Mind Like an Ocean. And I talked to her about the meaning of that album, and I said, I really want you to, if you accept, I would be so honored if you accept to channel a painting that will be the cover of that album. And she accepted it. She has completed the work. It is absolutely incredible. She is one of the best artists working with dolphins and angels, and it's incredible. And her name is Eva Sullivan, and you should see her heart, and you can see her heart at her website, is stardolphin.com.
Stardolphin.com,
and it's beautiful. She's incredible.
Wow. With that, it's wonderful to have that marriage of music and art together, and both of that being channeled simultaneously. It is really...
It is like so powerful, because even her heart by itself is already so... You have to see, that's why, I dare to say her website, because I do not endorse often other people, or I'm always very cautious. But she is so, you have to see her art to understand that, you know, it is incredible. Somebody like that needs to be known, you know, needs to be revealed, you know, because it's incredible what she does.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I thank you for sharing that, and maybe sometime I can do a little singing with you too, because I love to sing as well as to play
the
piano.
Well, you know, that's the second side. I don't know if we still have a little time, but that's the second side of my nonprofit. The nonprofit I talked earlier, Cathedral of Angels, is the first side is to provide free healing concert to anyone who needs it, especially patients in hospitals and people with any kind of illnesses, to give them an opportunity to release anything that don't may not belong to them anymore, and they didn't even know. So when they really surrender to the power of the angels or of God through the music that is channeled through me at that moment, and they receive spontaneously, sometimes miracles happen, and it's nothing else but surrendering. When you're able to surrender to the power of God through the music, to the power of music, you just can be blessed in ways you had no clue it was possible. And the second side of that nonprofit is it's an attempt to bring together all artists from all genres, from all backgrounds and all walks of life, to bring them together and demonstrate, showcase our talents under the label of unconditional love, which means I'd love to see an opera singer, a pop singer, a choir, and a rap singer singing all together under one of my music, and demonstrate that union is better than division. Instead of spitting at each other, saying, "Oh, you know, I don't like opera music if I like rap music." Well, I have the angels have let me hear in my ears that when you combine all those genres of music under in one song, it can be the most beautiful thing to hear and to witness, because it's pure love. And that's what I don't want to try, because I will do it to demonstrate that it is possible. And then I accept all kind of artists who wants to be on stage and demonstrate through those shows and unconditional love.
Absolutely. In fact, when I was in a choir, we sang a song called Why We Sing. And one of the lines is, music is a bridge, it can tear down a wall. Music is a language that can speak to one and all. This is why we sing, why we lift our voice. And it's just absolutely so beautiful, because music can reach people like no other medium can, as far as I'm concerned. It's so powerful and so healing, and I personally really want to promote music and the music therapy and the healing power of music, because I've been on both ends of that spectrum, both as a musician administering healing through the music and also receiving healing from somebody singing or playing music for me when I was very critically ill. So it's a very, very sacred medium, and I love it more than anything. And so I think what you're doing is tremendous, Frederick. Have you got any, we've just got a couple of more minutes here, lad. Have you got any performances that you would like to tell our audience about?
Not specifically, because all I can tell the audience is to thank them for listening to us and to your show, and it's so wonderful what you do, and I thank you and honor your work and who you are to do this for us. Just the best way would be to maybe to give again the websites, because that's the best way
sure.
to update. If I can do that.
Yes, please.
So the websites again are www.musicfromangels.com. And that's my website at Frederick de la Rue. And the website of the nonprofit is cathedralofangels.org. cathedralofangels.org. And those websites are updated almost every day. And when a new performance is there is a performance on April 14th. That is the official lunch concert of the nonprofit of the Cathedral of Angels. That's in Palm Springs, downtown Palm Springs, California, at 7:30, April 14th. That's where I will explain exactly what is the mission of the nonprofit, and I will give a live improvisation with the angels to show the city councils that will be present and other personalities that promote my work throughout Southern California to demonstrate what I will be doing with the patients of the with anyone who come to these concerts, and that's about it.
That is wonderful, and people will be able, people can buy your CDs from your website, correct?
They can buy my CDs. They are not distributed yet, through the stores, but you can find them on my website or on Amazon.com. People can go on Amazon.com and type Frederick de la Rue, and that's FREDERIC, and de la Rue is DELARUE. And if they type that in the search box of Amazon.com, they can reach my page there and listen to any kind of samples of my albums. And they can do the same way on my website, musicfromangels.com.
Well, Frederick, I want to thank you so much for being with us on Toward the Light for today. It has been wonderful sharing with you. And we will have to have you back on our show again.
Thank you, Juliet. You're so sweet. You're so kind. And I love your spirit. Thank you so very much.
Well,
and thank you, everyone, who listened to us.
And I want to remind everybody that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly.
Oh, that's
what is
so
essential
true.
Is invisible to the eye.
That's so true.
So until next week, thank you for listening. Please remember that only love prevails. And we will talk to you again next week. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale signing off for this transmission of Toward the Light, leading back to the source. Blessings and light to all.